Pastor Rank was not able to be with us today due to pastoral duties. One of his members is dealing with a terminal disease. Our reading and text for today is taken from St. Paul's second letter to young Timothy, the third chapter, beginning with verse 14. We hear these familiar words. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You are being watched, and you are being studied. For about the past 30 years, the Gallup Poll Company has been doing research on Christian college students and high school students and keeping track of statistics about them, trying to figure out when is it that they tend to wander away from church and ultimately leave the Christian faith. And what they've determined through all of those studies, and every year they conduct polling and research on them, what they've determined is that basically ages 18 to 23 are the most dangerous for young people in terms of when they might potentially walk away from Christ. The highest point of defection seems to be at age 23. For a lot of young people, a stage of doubting in life begins earlier than that. They may start to question things in their faith and about the Bible earlier than that. But ultimately, it seems to reach its concluding point about the stage you're in right now for most of you in college. Now, this is really nothing new. This is the way it's been for generations. There's just something about the stage of life of late adolescence and early adulthood that fosters this in us. It's a time when you've come out of your teenage years, your adolescent years, which have maybe been a time of questioning and challenging, a little bit of rebellion. There's a time in your life now when you're really getting free from your parents and you're no longer having your life defined by them. There's a strong urge in every one of us. We want to be our own person. I remember feeling that way myself. A lot of college students tell me it's hard to go back and live at home in the summer with your parents now that you're not a child anymore. There's also a focus on what you want to get doing in your life and the things you want coming ahead for you in your life. There are a lot of potential distractions. And then there's one more important factor that I think makes this such a dangerous stage of life. You're not going to die for a long time. You got plenty of time to take this Jesus stuff seriously someday in your life. If you read through the book of Proverbs, God is well aware of the problems we face in this stage of life. The book of Proverbs is full of admonitions to young adults, young men and women, to be careful during this time in their life. So that early 20s stage is probably about the age that the recipient of Paul's letter was at this time, young Timothy, a pastor. And Paul is writing to him and encouraging him about his faith. Timothy, we know from the Bible, from the other parts of this book, Timothy was raised in the Christian faith by his mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. And it must have started at a very early stage. St. Paul refers back to this happening in his infancy. He admires the sincere faith earlier on that lived inside of his mom and grandma. Paul says, from childhood, from infancy, the word brephos is used in the Greek. That means to be a short little person. Brief is where we get that word from. To be under the age of four. You have known the Holy Scriptures. Think of that. Even when he was probably 2-3 years old, he had to be taught from the Bible about a Savior, which means he had sin. He had to be taught about the evil that was already inside of him. I had the opportunity to hang around a 2-year-old a lot over the Christmas break, and they're a lot of fun, and we kind of laugh about a lot of things they do, but there's a lot of rebellion in a 2-year-old, a lot of evil and wickedness in a 2-year-old. Trust me. Job puts it this way, man who is born of woman is only a few days old and is full of trouble. We maybe don't hold them accountable for it for a little while, but you know, there's a stage where you start to kind of, hey, they get this now. They understand right and wrong here. They should start understanding this. I remember a number of years ago here on this campus, there was a woman who came here to study from a foreign country where there had been no religion at all in her life or upbringing or education. The concept of God was foreign to her. And she was now taking a little religion class, and we were talking about sin and evil. We were going through the commandments, and she came to talk to me afterwards. And she said, nobody's ever talked to me like this about sin and evil. But even when I was a tiny little girl, I hated people. I hated people, and I knew I could be selfish, and I was aware of this inside of me. Thanks for pointing this out. Nobody's ever talked to me about that voice in my head that even when I was a little girl, I knew this about myself. So St. Paul is reminding Timothy of the education he's received in his faith all the way back to being a tiny little child. And after the verse right before this, in verse 13, he's warning Timothy about the fact that as a Christian now, as a young adult, you are going to be facing persecution about your faith. Your faith is going to be challenged. There are people that are going to hate you because you've been brought up to believe in Christ. And then he says, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you learned them, and that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures. Notice, Paul has to encourage a pastor, a young pastor, to not lose this faith. Somebody who's studying it on a daily basis. Someone who is preaching about it and teaching about it to other people, who probably makes his livelihood at it, who's had it in his life his whole life, and he's writing to him and he says, watch out. You gotta continue in this because there are gonna be so many attacks to try to take this away from you. And he points him back to the very instructors that put this faith in his heart that God the Holy Spirit used to implant the love of Christ in his heart, his mom and his grandma. He says, think about who taught you. Think about the ones that helped put this into your life. Don't stop studying the Word of God. Paul's warning here to Timothy shows the dangers of this wicked fallen world and the culture that surrounds us and how it hates the faith that your mom and dad probably have worked to put into your heart, certainly by the work of the Holy Spirit. So why is this instruction in Scripture, this ongoing, continuous instruction in Scripture, so essential for us? Why is this such a big deal? Well, Paul explains. He says, the Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The words for they are able is actually, they contain the power. Theologians use the expression efficacy of the Word of God, the effectiveness. God the Holy Spirit attaches his divine power to work in a person's heart into his Word. And when that Word is heard and preached and read and taken down into our hearts and minds and consciences, it has the power to bring us to the cross, to bring us to what our Savior did for us, to cause us to grab that and say, I love that my Savior has paid for every sin I've ever done so that I can have eternal life in heaven. It's that power that Paul wants to make sure Timothy stays near. Each person of the Trinity has attached himself to this Word. Jesus said to his disciples, the words that I give you, they are spirit and they are life. The Word of God is not just information about God like your other textbooks, okay? You get a lot of information in your other textbooks, but when you open up the Word of God, when you open up the Holy Scriptures, the divine power of the Trinity is there to embed faith in your heart in Christ and to keep and preserve you in that faith. God wants you to continue in the beautiful little faith that was given to you in the waters of baptism. And that's why this instruction in Scripture is so vital. 2015. I never thought I'd make it to 2015. So what's in store for you this year? What are all the new things that are going to happen to you? What are the new plans that you'll have to make in your life? Are there some new doors that are going to open up for you? Maybe a new relationship that'll get established. Or is this the year God's going to decide your life's going to come to an end? I hope not. But is that possible? The words that Paul gave to Timothy are just as true for you and me today. You must continue. Not just that you should or it would be good, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, because there alone do you have the power to go to heaven. Stay with that. Amen. Please rise. I invite you to turn to page 149 in the front part of the hymn book, page 149. You will find prayer number 21, collect number 21 for this week in the church year. And let's pray that together in unison. Lord God, Heavenly Father, in mercy you have established the Christian home among us. We beseech you so to rule and direct our hearts that we may be good examples to children and those subject to us, and not offend them by word or deed, but faithfully teach them to love your church and hear your blessed word. Give them your spirit and grace that this seed may bring forth good fruit, so that our home life may advance your glory, honor, and praise, our own improvement and welfare, and give offense to no one, through the same your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.